was it? I know there's another Avatar movie coming out, and I asked someone, I was like, are they still going to connect their ponytails to the mounts that they ride on? And someone said, stop talking about that. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Pointless Discourse with myself, Apocalypse, and Deep Pain.
I said I was ready, but then I realized I forgot what word we were on. See, let me Google this. We only have so many left. We just gotta enjoy them for what they are.
Yeah, I know the big thing is we noticed there were none for South America.
Yeah, according to this list, South America doesn't exist.
Sorry, South American listeners. We believe in you.
Hey, we know that you exist because in December we were the number one listened podcast in Peru.
Comedy podcast.
Comedy podcast. Yep. So, Du Mei Lang, which is hello in northern Sotho, which is in the south of Africa. It's like near the southern tip of Africa. Mm-hmm. A little bit inland, like southeast.
Okay. But yes, we do have, at least in the last 30 days, at least one listener from Brazil.
Woo!
Looking at the many stats that,
that I don't
Anchor
know how to
likes
read
to throw at us, yeah. And there's an Argentina. What's if I do all time?
That's what I was worried about to click. Oh, that just changes the pie chart.
Yeah. I don't... Okay. So maybe it's not in the last 30 days, but we at least have had listeners. Oh, it went from 1% to 2%. And, nope. I'm a liar.
I thought you were off.
Yes.
Hey, 2% listening in Egypt. They like Better Off Ted. Alrighty. Hey, but it's all good. We're all having fun here.
Yes. I woke up way too early today, so sorry if I am easily distracted and get sucked into things, as D-Pain had evidence to. We were talking about potential thumbnail ideas for the YouTube channel, so I started editing some stuff to say, like, what do you think of this? And then I kind of just dove all the way in. But I let her. I woke up very early today because I had a dream that some
Another
large...
One?
Yeah, I don't usually remember them. But I woke up horrified because where I was sleeping, I dreamt that a bug was like... You know, like how... What's the old tale? Is like Little Miss Muffet.
Muffet sat on her something and... Yeah, a spider.
Yeah. It was essentially that, except I was dreaming that I was sleeping and that I had rolled over and I looked up and I saw whatever creature it was that was ascending from the ceiling. So I couldn't go back to sleep because it was dream. In the dream, it was the same place I was sleeping. But it was very early. It was like 7 a.m. So I didn't get much sleep. So,
Hello there. No!
So that's me today.
Yeah, I'm still... confused about my dream the other day where apparently I went home and everyone knew I was married except me. And I was very confused. I told my brother and he started singing. He's like, and this is not my beautiful house. Was this not my beautiful life as the days go by? And I'm like, that's what it felt like. Didn't hear that song like in a while, but
the perfect soundtrack to that dream.
Yeah, so, but I did wake up late, so that was fun.
And you had places to be, not late, because usually when we say in the podcast that we woke up late, it's just for us meeting for the podcast, but with us squeezing recordings back to back to back, you had places to be this morning, too.
Yeah, it's a Sunday, and I have to be, because I work for a church, and so I had to be there. I got there eventually. It's like I wasn't super, like I wasn't like scheduled for anything. So, like, I showed up. I was like, hey, everything ran smoothly.
All right, that's not so bad.
Yep. But, yeah.
Yeah, I saw a TikTok where I guess somebody traveled to go to a concert, and the TikTok showed that the clock in the hotel room was at midnight.
Oh no.
And they said, I traveled and I took a nap and I missed the entire concert.
That's terrible.
That is why I have travel anxiety, where, like, when I used to work travel, I would consistently basically only sleep like 2 or 3 hours before I had a flight, because my body was like, I had trouble falling asleep because I knew I had to be up at a certain time to make the flight in time. And then my body would wake up too early because it was like, if I don't wake up now, I won't make my flight.
Yeah. It's definitely one of those things, like, whenever I have to return, like, especially from cons, because, like, if I'm visiting family and all that, it's, like, it's a little bit easier going, where family will be like, oh, yeah, we'll just take you to the airport, and I'm like, I'm not super stressed out about that. Mm-hmm. I'm more stressed out, like, if I go to, like, PAX South no longer exists, but when I went to PAX South or TwitchCon, where I would be staying with friends also renting a place, I'd be like... And so, like, for me, I'm like, I'm not going to schedule my flight early. I'm going to schedule it at night, and I'll just sit in the airport all day. I rather do that than worry about friends scheduling and all everything else. I'm like, it helps me.
Yeah, I had a friend that was like, hey, can you give me rides back and forth from the airport? And where I live, I'm pretty much... no more than 20 minutes from Philadelphia Airport, so, like, easy enough, right? Mm-hmm. So I go to give them a ride, and they're like, okay, so our flight leaves at, like, 6 a.m. I was like, oh, okay.
That would have been nicer to know to start.
I think they had told me, and I just, like, because it was one of those, like, oh, can you give me a ride? It's this. I was like, okay, just remind me when it gets closer. Mm-hmm. So then I think I drove them to the airport around, like, 4 in the morning. But so then, like, I tried to work, and then I was, we have an afternoon meeting, too. So I go to the meeting. I said, I got, like, nothing done today because I messed up my sleep schedule to take someone to the airport, and I took a nap. And they were like, well, thanks for letting us know.
Who did we hire? Yeah. It's, there's only one time, actually, no, 2 times I missed a flight. Was it? No, it was only one time. And it was, like, I was going to my cousin's wedding, and I've been, at that point, like, this is, like, when I had, like, 32 weddings I go to, and so, like, I'm used to flying and all this other stuff. I'm like, hey, I just need to get there in, like, an hour and a half ahead of time. That's more than enough time.
Mm-hmm.
I get there, apparently just missing the shuttle, because I'm like, I'm not paying bonkers money to go park in some place. I'll park in an economic parking place, which just seems like a really weird name. It's just the farthest parking lot.
Yeah, I still don't think that's reopened in Philadelphia Airport, last I checked.
Oh.
FYI. Well,
I'm not planning... actually, in August, I'm planning to fly. Oh, well, that... I'll worry about that when I get there. But anyway, I go to park there, and as I'm pulling in, I see that the shuttle is, like, already driving away, and I'm like, okay. So, and it was, like, just before, like, the time where they started going every 10 minutes. It was, like, every 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I'm like, okay, this isn't bad. But then it was, like, I get there, and then it was just, like, every single stop people were getting on there to go to Disney, and so it was just families just with their children slowly packing their bags on there. I'm like, oh my gosh. And so I get there, and I think this is mainly just a local airline for us, Frontier, Well, I say local, but I think it's based in New Jersey or something
like that. I think Frontier will do the East Coast. Yeah, I don't know if it does anywhere else.
It will at least, I think it will go out to Tennessee because that's where it was going.
Okay.
I don't think they do cross country flights.
No, it's not like Delta or American.
Mm-hmm. And so like I get there and I find out, and they're like, oh, we closed the gates 40 minutes before a flight. So if you wanted to check bags, which I did, because I had nice clothes for the wedding in there. I'm like, so they're like, oh, we can't take this. And I'm like, and they're like, you could bring it in and maybe they'll do something. I was like, all right. So like, I just go and like take my flight, go through security. Funny enough, one of my friends is there, and he's like, hey, he's like, dude, I would talk, but I got to see if I can get this flight. And I get there, and they just closed the door. Like, they closed the door, like, maybe, like, a minute before I got there.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm like, wasn't happy to, I'm like, what can I do? Because I'm like, I was here, it's just everything in the airport didn't work out for me to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, there's nothing we do. So I'm like, okay. And I'm like, do you have another flight that I can get on? They're like, not till tomorrow. And I'm like,
oh,
the wedding's tomorrow. and so I'm like, oh, well, we can't help you. And I was like, I'm putting that together. And so fortunately, I was in a better financial situation. And so I looked up and I'm like, hey, there's got to be another flight heading to this airport. And I look and I found one.
Mm-hmm.
And so run, I think like two or three terminals down and to American Airlines, where the ticket costs like three times as much because Frontier is pretty cheap.
Yeah, Frontier and Spirit are the budget ones for us.
Yep. And so I got American Airlines. It was a really comfy flight, but it also cost close to $400.
Mm.
And so I'm like, okay, here we go. And I'm like, I just need the flight out there. And I got out there a little bit later and told them, actually, no, I think it was right around the same time. Anyway, it didn't matter. But I got there and I'm like, all right, cool. And everything went off well. But,
that's good that it worked out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. My favorite airline story, though, is the one where I sat in LAX airport for 15 hours.
That sounds miserable.
It was after my first TwitchCon.
Mm-hmm.
And so all my friends or people that I met were coming there. And, like, I tweeted out, and I was just, like pretty much, like, I saw a few of my friends. I hung out, talked with them. They left. And then I just walked around
mm-hmm.
a lot to where I'm pretty sure, like, security was keeping an eye on me. But, I found out, and I tell everyone this, I'm like, if you are in the LAX airport for an extended period of time, walk over to B terminal. It's going to take at least 10 minutes to walk there. But when you're over there, the bathrooms are cleaner, the food is better, and I think it might be a little bit cheaper. But then again, this is like years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is, it's the international part of the airport.
Oh.
So, like, whenever I had to go to the bathroom, I went literally all the way across the airport to B Terminal to use the nice, clean bathrooms. It's like, there we go. And then I walked, and then walked around there, and I think I got, I don't know, it's not Chipotle, but Panda Express.
Okay.
And then ate that, went back over, and yeah, it was a pretty fun time. And then I tweeted out, I was like, hey, anyone from TwitchCon, if you're coming back, just let me know. And there was like someone I met, and they were like, hey, I'm just sitting at this bar. And I'm like, all right, I'll be there. And I just sat up and we just chatted for a while, and then I was like, okay, now it's like, okay, now I got like 30 minutes before my flight, so I'm actually gonna go find my terminal again. So
you were kind of just there early because you had other people you were seeing out, and then you were like, might as well just stay here then.
Pretty much the people I was staying with at their Airbnb, all their flights was like at 6 a.m. and one was at like 8 a.m. or 7 a.m. It was like, and so like they did that. And so I'm like, well, and they're like, well, what do you want to do? I was like, I'll just come in. And they're like, the guy's like, oh, are you just checking your bag and you're coming back? And I'm like, dude, I got nowhere to be. Like, I don't really want to walk around. Like, I'll just chill here. And he's like, oh, okay. So I did. And, yeah, and then you thought I would learn my lesson the next time, but I didn't wait 15 hours, but this airport was a lot less fun to wander around. That one was only like a 6-hour wait. So.
Which airport was that?
The second one was, I forget. It wasn't LAX, I know that, but it was like a smaller airport in California.
Okay.
It's like, I bet I could look on the badges behind me and find it, but man, it was pretty much just like a really long hallway.
I was like,
I'm like, okay. So I walked back and forth. I'm like, okay. This is it.
I've seen everything that there is to see.
And so, but yeah, it's been the same thing. I talked with a few friends and everything, and then it was really easy to find people in that one because it's just like, okay, there you are, and there you are, and just walk back and forth. That one, though, was just, that was an awkward time, because that's when someone showed their true colors.
Oh, boy.
Yep, that trip. And then they wanted nothing to do with me, and then, or really anybody on that was sharing the Airbnb. And then they made everyone so mad that when it was time to leave, they were just like, no one's going to walk me to my terminal? It's like, not after this weekend.
All right. So, here, I'll try and make a transition work. I think I'm not making it work by saying I'm going to make it work. But speaking of people showing their true colors, Better Off Ted episode 12, where you have, I was going
to... Luminescent squirrels.
Yes. They're colored, but I was gonna try and do the whole like Ted's a liar and has to face his consequences. Yeah, and then I couldn't think of like the right sentence structure to make that happen.
Here we could, let's see, can I think of a good transition? Well, just like the new season of What We Do in the Shadows is coming out, we have a new episode of Always Ted something. I forgot what it's called. Better Off Ted.
Sitcoms. But yes, so feel free to roll your dice, DP. And then we'll get to see who gets to do the synopsis of this episode. If you've somehow stumbled on us reviewing episode 12, we've been going through all the episodes where we go over kind of what the episode's about, reactions. I have my list of questions to talk about the episode. And we're almost done.
One more episode after this.
Yeah. Since we're only doing season one for right now.
Mm-hmm. I rolled an 8.
I rolled a 7.
I figured. I was like, that number. Okay. Next week we get to announce what's fun, what we're doing next. The way when I said what's fun, it made it sound like this wasn't fun, which is some of the episodes weren't as fun. But
some of the episodes weren't as fun. Also, this reminds me to send you a message about
tomorrow.
Yes.
Okay. We might not be talking tomorrow, but in the end, that doesn't change you, the listener. You'll still hear into the next episode in a week, theoretically. Okay. So. But yeah, so here's the synopsis of the episode. We start off with Ted walking out on the stage, and he's like, I'm a big liar, poopy pants. Let me tell you how it worked out. It was like, it's very much like one of those movies where it's just like, you see your protagonist and they're like in a car that's about to crash with like a gopher and like cops coming behind them shooting lasers, and then there's like the mob next to them in another car, and then it like freeze frames right before the crash, like, hi, my name's Ted. I bet you're wondering how I got here. And then I think the term is called media res.
I forget what the term is, but yeah, it is a popular trope.
Mm-hmm. But pretty much we go back in time and to find out how Ted gets on this stage, to where pretty much he tells, which it's funny because I think, does this episode start off with the commercial?
Yes.
So
it's the first one in a long time.
Yeah. So it starts off with the commercial of pretty much the Viridian thing of how they're going green and everything. And then we go back in time where Linda's like, hey, I want to be part of this. This, well, Ted's like, oh, so we're not actually is talking with Linda. You know, sorry. Start over. Ted is talking to Veronica about, oh, this green stuff and the greening. And Veronica's saying, yeah, no, it's a lie. No one, we're not doing anything. It's just to make people think we're working on projects and pretty much not really doing anything at all. And he's like, okay. To where he runs into Linda. And Linda's like, I want to be on this greening project. And he's like, well, I got to tell her straight up. Yeah, you can be part of it. And
yeah, I think the order was Linda asked to be on it. And then Ted goes to, he okay. says, I'll ask Veronica. And then he goes to Veronica. And then Veronica says it's fake. And then Ted says, there's a commercial for it, though. The commercial says we're doing that. So that's why mm-hmm. I think it's that order. And then Veronica goes, I never said there wasn't a commercial.
Mm-hmm. There's just no projects.
Yeah.
To where he allows Linda to work on greening the rooftop. But he's like, but yeah, you have to do it by yourself. Like,
and keep it a secret.
Keep it a secret, and it's only you working on it. And he's like, I'll do it. And he's like, oh, so you're not going to take... Oh, okay. And, like, just trying to, like, make it so terrible that she doesn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, she's working on that project, and she's sneaking stuff in to where Ted is trying to keep Veronica pretty much, like, just distracted because... He had to move money around to decorate, pretty much to have this project happen. And he's talking to Veronica in front of an elevator while another elevator, I think, opens down the hallway. And there's Linda with all the plants and greenery and worms and just, like, waving. And he's just like, no, the stuff is the Jabberwocky project. And he's like, you know what the Jabberwocky Project is? Yes. I do. And so from there, it's pretty much nobody knows what the Jabberwocky Project is. And it keeps going and going and going until everybody in the company wants to be on the Jabberwocky Project. To where it gets to the point where Ted has to tell Veronica that this was a lie. He was moving money around because he couldn't tell Linda no. And... it was to fund the greenification of the greening of the rooftop. And so he's like, well, she informs him. It's like, well, we got to do this whole, like, everyone believes in this thing. And so now we got to do this, I forgot what the word's called.
Presentation.
Not production. Yes, thank you. Presentation to the upper, pretty much to the Viridian higher-ups. And... they make a PowerPoint presentation in about 20 minutes and then have a video, which, I don't know, worked out really well. And so they did all that, and which was making me laugh of remembering when the show came out, which it says right here, it aired in 2009, because at the end of the presentation, Jabberwocky, coming in 2012. And I'm like, wait a second, they already passed. so they did that, and everyone's just like, wow, that's amazing. The other side of the story is, it's not really a huge focus, but Phil and Lem, they pretty much think they disappointed Ted by making an unbreakable plate that weighs too much. And so they're like, oh, we got to fix this out. And then Ted's like, no, don't worry about that. And they're like, we want to be part of Jabberwocky. Oh, no, they make a plate that catches on fire
mm-hmm.
when it hits stuff. And so they're all doing that, and they're like, their whole storyline is like, oh, Ted doesn't believe in us, and he thinks we're failures. And it's like, we need to be put on Jabberwocky. And it's like, guys, it doesn't exist. And then they're like, oh, he hates us. we're out of it. We're going to be fired. And then we find out that apparently Lem is telling his mom everything. and then in the end, pretty much Veronica, Phil, and Lem, because Phil and Lem think the way they can get on Ted's good side is helping Linda, and so they pretty much all work together to finish this rooftop experience, I'm just looking over just to see if your questions will cover the end. I think our questions will cover like the closing, build suspense.
Okay. Ooh. So yeah, so like you said,
I'm so sorry. It suddenly kicked in that I'm tired.
I have that effect on people. And by the way, everybody, we covered enough time that you could have watched the whole episode while we did our rambling at the beginning.
And our recap. But yeah, so, like you mentioned, it starts off with the commercial. How do you feel knowing that the commercials are actually, like, being shown in the universe and not just something that they, like, joke about in the sitcom?
I always expected them to be shown. I guess this is just me, just how I was thinking, but, I find it funny. Like, I want to meet the team that's making that. Like, how are they getting the approval to put... just to go back to the most, like, how they get past HR or whatever or whoever allows stuff to put a stinking Terminator in their commercial.
That one was a lot. Yeah, then my follow-up question was, which ad do you think, if you personally got, like, as a pop-up during an ad break, which one would weird you out the most? Is it the Terminator one?
I think the Terminator would be the most memorable because it's the one I remember the most from the TV show. But it's like, thinking about all the commercials, I think I would, like, if I saw them all, like, I watch a YouTube compilation of all the commercials, because you know that would be out if this was in, like, in that world.
Mm-hmm.
I would ask, what do they do?
Yeah, because they say they do everything, but also nothing. And also, they apologize for mistakes. I think I'd be most surprised if I was just sitting there and watching YouTube, assuming, you know, that they Viridian existed even to this time and they had YouTube ads. But if they were, if I was just watching something and they're like, Digivision, bad. I was like, who okay just hating on each other?
I think that I would like that. I think more commercials should do that.
Just point their hands like, why eat a Reese's when you could have a Kit Kat? Reese's bad. Kit Kat good.
Well, that's what Budweiser and Miller Lite pretty much did.
Oh, the back and forth, yeah. Yeah.
And from what I hear, they're both bad. But it felt like those two were, like,
in agreement. Yeah. But, from those ads, they felt like they were kind of both in on the joke versus Veronica voicing over just to say, we hate Digivision.
It might, like, Digivision might have their own commercials about Viridian. Like, we never see anybody else's commercials.
That's true. The other one that I think would confuse me a lot is getting an ad where they're like, you should be thankful that we make mistakes so we can make better stuff for you. And I'd be like, what did they do? what do they do?
The one where they pretty much say, like, we're training kids to be minimum wage workers. I can't remember everything, but it's just, I remember the episode, and I'm like, there was something in there where it's just like, teaching your kid to pick up our trash or something like that.
Yeah, because that's the first time we meet Rose.
Mm-hmm. So
sorry. Okay.
You're fine. I'm just boring.
Might be nap time for me after this, but okay.
It's laundry time, and it's also time to turn on the air conditioning after this.
So when it comes to the commercials, what surprised you more out of these two things? That Viridian lies in the commercials, or that Linda and Ted actually believed in what they said in the commercials?
The second.
Yeah.
Part of me thinks, like, I don't think, part of me wonders if Ted really thinks that they're lying, or if he was just like, I want to do a solid for Linda.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, but we did the commercial, and just, like, kind of just grasping at straws.
That could be possible, yeah. Yeah, I thought Linda would also not believe them, because Linda's worked there long enough that anytime anything happens, it's, like, the opposite. Like, when they were like, use this fabric to make comfortable chairs. And they use the fabric, and she's like, no one wants to sit in these. They're like, but it's productive. And she's like, but they're going crazy. You can't you can't use these.
Yeah. Well, like, she, but, like, I think she was just the fact that she's like, I want to do this. Like, it was just something that she thought she could, like, actually do and help.
And enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, because she's, like, pretty much grabs a handful of worms. And it's just like, she's like, this is the best day of my life. And I'm like, you are in the wrong field.
Yeah, and like you said, it does also hint that she might have moved from somewhere smaller into a bigger town.
Mm-hmm.
Because she seems very comfortable with handling the worms. Even when she asks the worms if they're, like, doing it.
Yeah.
And she's still holding them in her hand. And I was like, huh, brave.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I don't even want to hold any insect. I was attacked by a praying mantis when I was younger. And I'm like, I'm good. Don't want to deal with bugs.
That sounds unpleasant.
Yeah, apparently I deserved it, according to my mom.
So you think Ted was kind of grasping at straws to be able to do something for Linda. Yeah.
I think that's possible, but at the same time, like, I don't know, like, I think Ted wants to think the best in Viridian, but at the same time, I think he knows too much about Viridian. Like, I think
because he does kind of roll over when Veronica just says, no, it's not a thing. And Ted's just like, must not be a thing.
Yeah. Well, like, I'm wondering if he's more of like, we wouldn't outwardly just straight lie about something like that. It was like, we might, like, it either might be something that was coming out or working on.
That's true. And something like saying greening something can be generic. Like, maybe they just switched, like, in another episode, they talk about how they saved money by using motion sensor lights. That is technically more green because you use less electricity.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also doing it to not spend money on electricity. Yes.
And also, the whole way they did that didn't really...
Didn't work out, yeah.
Didn't work out the way they were hoping. But, yeah, for the example of the church I work at, they have technically done greening because they went from, they're switching a lot of their lights from certain lights to LED lights
because
they use less electricity. And it's like, but their whole mindset isn't like, oh, we're being mindful of the planet. It's like, this is helping us save money.
Right.
In the long run. And so, but still.
So it's technically true.
It's technically greening, but it's like, I know they don't look at it that way because I've been in the meetings. So,
just like Ted and Veronica. So you since you mentioned that he's doing all this for Linda, is that why you think he just keeps digging his own grave to the point of no return, essentially?
Yeah, it was like, as soon as the episode started and like he told Linda, yeah, you can do this. I'm like, oh, this is the lie episode. I'm like,
I just didn't like that in this episode that they opened it with him obsessing over Linda. We already know as viewers, and we can already guess that he'll lie for her sake. They didn't have to do that whole montage where it's like, this all started about a girl and gunplay, but it was all about a girl. I was like, yeah, we all know Ted likes Linda.
I wonder if this episode is supposed to be earlier.
Oh, maybe it was filmed and written earlier, and then they kind of just swapped the orders.
Yeah.
That could be possible.
Because I was on ABC. I'm like, I know Fox pretty much ruined Firefly with how they ordered episodes.
I still love that show.
Oh, I like it, too. It's just...
it wasn't easy for mass audiences to enjoy. Mm-hmm. That is,
well, it doesn't
true.
Help they start on episode 3. And then it's like... Episode 1 shows 2 weeks later, and you're like, wait, what? Why'd they do this? That would be a fun show to go through.
My shelf, I would love excuses to go over Firefly. You can't see him past this chair, but I have essentially a Firefly shelf. Oh, you can't see him. Bit of a little washburn. And then I have Kaylee's bear. And then the ship itself. I used to keep this at my desk at work, and it's all magnetic, and someone knocked it over, and they freaked out. I was like, oh no, it's easy.
Yes. Oh, man. Yeah, because I watched that, I think... Because I watched it late, because I... Pretty much when I went to college, I just stopped watching TV and movies in general. And so, like, I never knew it came out. And then, a lot of friends from when I went to school in New York were talking about it, so I watched it, and I was like, oh, this is really good. I watched it later, and then... That was weird.
Sorry. You good?
My hands are not on my mouse or keyboard, and the page just scrolled.
There's a ghost.
Pay rent! But yeah, it was... I remember before, I'm trying to think if it was before or after I watched it. I think it was after I watched it, because then I worked at, because then I went back and worked at the camp, and they were telling me about it, and we were talking about it, and then pretty much, I'm trying to remember everything, but like pretty much I was really close to the whole production team, because I was technically part of the production. I was the evil bandit.
Yeah.
And, it was a cowboy-themed camp. To where I found out that apparently I was saying words that I wasn't allowed to say in front of the kids.
Oh, boy.
Like, I wasn't cursing, but it was more like, you dang childrens. And it was like, and then everyone's like, but I didn't have my glasses on, so I couldn't see, like, facial reactions. And then, like, the guy who's in charge of, like, the program is like, yeah, we're not allowed to say those words. Like, they have, like, a whole, like, class that apparently I slept through, even though I was, like, in charge of, like, it's called mommy time, where it's just, like, here's the words and stuff you shouldn't be saying in front of the kids, and apparently I broke all of those rules.
Nice.
But I was masked, and no one knew who I was, sort of. But, yeah, anyway, the whole reason that came up is, like, I was talking about them and the production team. They were talking about Firefly. And they're like, at the time, they're like, yeah, D-Pain, I could see you as Mal. And I'm like, I feel cool now. I'll talk to you more.
I accept this.
I'll accept your friendship.
Right. Yeah, so, yeah, maybe it is that the episodes were ordered weird, because it felt like they drew out the whole Linda Ted thing, and it's kind of been well established for a while. Mm-hmm. Even where in other episodes they kind of just hint at it now, like, oh yeah, we already know. But
yeah, it's also weird because, like, just like kind of go towards, well, it kind of happens throughout where it's just like they hug and they're just like, oh man, and then it's like later, it's like, oh, we're going to hug again, because we're going to hug, you're going to initialize it, and just everything. It's just like...
Oh, they do mention that she has a boyfriend, so yeah, it can't be that early into the show.
Yeah, maybe it's like... It's one of those things where I'm like, I wish the show would just be consistent on, like, where they are, because it's just like, oh, are they? Are they? And it's just like... Well, no, like... I don't know. And once again, I said this in other episodes. I guess it's where I have an issue, which is like... Okay, if she's having all that stuff and she's like, oh no, I got a boyfriend, can't hang out with my boss, then it's like, okay, then you obviously don't want to be with him. Like, I don't know. It's just like, I find it, I guess I find it a little bit weird where she, like, at the same time, I've never been in that kind of situation where it's just like the person that I'm interested in who's dating somebody else is also hitting on, like, kind of not so subtly hitting on me the way Linda would. So it's just like, I'm like, no, it's like, come on, get your own stuff in order and then go chase after Ted some more if you want, because
it is weird.
That whole relationship was pretty much built to make Ted jealous.
It was, and then it backfired. Mm-hmm. Because Ted was like, oh, I really like the guy. And then it backfired again, and Ted's like, you know what? No, I hate him. Darn him.
Yeah. So
then, yeah. let's see. So yeah, so Ted kept digging in his own grave to the point where the company, like you said, it blew up to the point where suddenly everybody was talking about Jabberwocky. People were like, I wish I was on Jabberwocky, or lying about being on Jabberwocky to brag to other people. Were you surprised the company had such bad communication up the chain? Because, like, the scene where Veronica goes in to talk to her boss, and she's like, Jabberwocky. And he's like, Jabberwocky. Yeah, yeah.
I like how everyone, like, whenever they hear about it the first time, it's like, it's that conversation. It's just, yes, I was making sure you knew.
Yeah, I am very aware. I didn't know you knew. I did like the scene with Veronica and Linda in the elevator. Mm-hmm. And Veronica's like, can you tell me anything? I want to make sure this is going well. And Linda's like, what was it? I got a bucket of worms and Ted drank urine.
Ted drank urine. And then she's like, what? And I got Ted to drink urine.
Yeah. Did you enjoy seeing her panic trying to find the secret?
Yeah, and I just like how she's just like, just tell me. I don't know what this is. And everyone does.
Yeah, she's laying on the floor in Ted's office. What was her first line? I'm trying to get to know you better.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess it doesn't really surprise me that there's bad communication, because it's like, at where I work, and there's considerably less people. There's like less than like 40 people that work where I work. Maybe less than 30. I don't know. I don't keep count. And there's communication problems there. So, I guess I don't find it... I just find it funny where it's just like... Somebody just didn't just ask, like, what are you guys talking about? What is Jabberwocky?
Yeah, the company is like so built up on everybody being the smartest person in the room that they're like, I can't let them know that I don't know. Because even after the presentation, everybody leaves the presentation and goes, did you get it? What do you mean? I totally got it. How can you not understand what it is? And other people are like, oh, right. Yeah, I get it. And then the ending when they send it off to Japan because it blew up to be too big for U.S. offices. A page. He's like, no, it's going to revolutionize business. Everything's there. And he's like, oh, uh-huh, I understand now, but it would be great.
Like, I still think it's missing a page, though. They just look at each other awkwardly. Like,
yeah, so... I kind of mentioned the presentation, so yeah. So, like you said, they did very well for having, like, no time.
Mm-hmm.
All things considered. And it felt very much like the old, like, tech directs that I feel like they used to do. Did you ever see the old videos of Microsoft when those guys were, like, out of their minds and just shouting into a crowd about the newest Microsoft stuff?
I don't. I think I've heard about them. I can't remember watching any.
I forget the name of the one guy, but when I was at my last job, they kept playing this video on loop if they were having a bad day. It's like this bald, sweaty guy that worked for Microsoft. His name is notable. Like, if you looked it up on YouTube, you'd probably find this clip. But he's, like, sweaty, and he's on stage. He may or may not be on something, but he's, like, sweaty and on stage, and his armpits are wet, and he's shouting, programmers, program, programs, and has the crowd chanting something like that. Let me see if I can find it.
I'm, like, looking up at it as well. See if I can... Oh, this... I typed in what you just said, programmers, program, programs, and it's just, like, that is not what showed up.
Maybe I'm misremembering. Let me see. Microsoft. Okay. Maybe it's...
Oh, yeah, I think I found it.
Did you? Okay.
I just wrote Microsoft conference yelling. I hope... I'll send it to you. Hope this is going to find out what actually gets recorded. Oh, yep, yeah, he is yelling.
Yeah, oh, yeah, Steve Ballmer going crazy on stage.
This looks like the summer camps I worked at.
You see what I mean, though? Like, he may or may not be on something.
He's on business.
He's on business. I like the comment. Whenever I'm depressed, I watch this video and suddenly life regains all meaning.
The second one, this dude did a big effing line right on the way to the stage. It reminds me of the Matt Foley skid where he's just like, it's like, now we have a motivational speaker down that we had in the basement for the past 4 hours just drinking coffee. And he's ready to just make sure that you guys don't do drugs anymore.
With Chris Farley. Oh, I think it's Steve Ballmer Developers. This is the clip that I was thinking of in particular. Oh my goodness. An ad coming up. But you see how sweaty he
is? Yes. Oh, I have an ad too. This woman is... saw the thumbnail and decided to wear.
Oh my god! Yeah, I picked the wrong. It's not programmers program. Yeah, okay. It's developers.
Oh my goodness! This man is so sweaty.
I like this one comment. I'm a software developer, and everything he said is true.
Oh, my comments aren't loading. It's like, what the?
There is nobody more unpredictable than a man who is not ashamed of his body sweat.
How many lines of code did he do before going on stage?
But anyway, but you see, like, the way the stage is set up and all that, that's why it kind of gives me that energy. Yeah. And he's not saying anything, which is pretty much what happened when Ted and Veronica take the stage. Because they go, what do they keep saying? Jabberwocky, what is it? Yes. It's what's faster than a cheetah and stronger than another cheetah.
And then and it's more majestic than a fish, a whale.
It's like, we had an hour, we just pulled pictures off the internet. And then they start dancing on the stage and Veronica's like, what did he call it? Like, smoke bomb went off, but then didn't. It went off like a second later.
And he's just there like, yeah. And then begins to walk away, then it goes off. It's honestly, like, if anyone wants to know what kind of summer camp I worked at, that, like, with the energy that they did on stage, like, that's just, like, I forgot his name already, Steve... Ballmer and then the pretty much of this episode of, like, it's just how things worked.
It's a lot of energy that I cannot exude for anybody.
Yeah, I'm surprised I was able to do that, like, but I was only up like once or twice a week, plus they gave me a gun with blanks in it, so that was fun.
Oh yeah, that'll make up for it.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's pretty much Ted and Veronica's storyline. I think I went through all the questions I had for them. You kind of mentioned Lem keeps bringing up that his mom will be disappointed in him if he's disappointed Ted at all. Are you surprised that Lem kind of says that you can't hide anything from his mom?
Well, wasn't this something that they mentioned earlier?
Yeah, I was trying to see if you remember. It's the one where they're forced to share offices, and he thinks the episode that we really thought was funny, where he thought he was going to be able to go on and date the one girl he shared the office with.
Okay.
And he says, I'm bad at jokes, but we can go on a date and I'll sneak out after mother's gone to bed and we can hang out. And she thinks it's a joke.
Yeah. It's like, I guess, I'm not surprised that he tells her everything, but it's just like, I like how he's using it pretty much like it. I can't tell my mom bad news or something like that.
Yeah.
Or like, then, no, I can't disappoint my mom by telling her that I disappointed Ted. I just find it funny how that Ted is in such a high opinion of his
mom. For everybody. Yeah. And then what is it? Ted, I can't tell my mom I didn't get on Jabberwocky. And Ted's like, your mom knows about Jabberwocky.
Then I just like, and I like how Phil's just like, she knows everything. He tells her everything.
Yeah, nothing's a secret from her. So, along the lines of that, do you think everybody in the office that Ted, like, manages over is just as obsessed with his approval? Or does it seem like just a Phil and Lem thing to you? Because we did meet one other scientist in R&D, and she wanted to date Ted. I can't remember if Dr. Bamba works.
I think Dr. Bamba is just, he's like, dude, I... Like, they can't touch me. Like, that, they need me as the scapegoat, and I will do it. I don't know, because, like, honestly, we never
seen... Linda doesn't seem obsessed with, like, making him happy. But, I mean, they have their own dynamic.
Yeah. But at the same time, I don't think she wants to, like, ruin his day the way she wants to ruin the company's day.
Mm-hmm.
And... You never really see him interact with any of the other people in the cubicles next, like, around Linda.
Mm-hmm.
But doesn't mean that he doesn't.
Yeah, this episode he kind of does, but only to try and, like, replace the rumor with another rumor. Like we said, mm-hmm. everyone's like, Jabberwocky's the best thing around, and Ted's going around, and he's like, everyone's leaving the team, it's bad, it's no good, and nobody mm-hmm. believes him.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I feel like probably everyone is, I don't know if obsessed, but I think they, because it's not like he, like, the only time I think he, like, lords his power over anybody is Medieval Fight Club.
Oh, it's a shame. If you can't go tonight, your deadline will move up.
Mm-hmm. And, but, like, it seems like out of the rest of the management people, like, he's the most, to use a Call of Cthulhu term, the most human stat out of them all. Or is that Delta Green? I think it's Delta Green now I'm thinking about it. Pretty much a stat you roll to be like, how's this dude, like, it's pretty much like, how human is this person I'm talking to? Is there something off with him? Is he brainwashed? but pretty much he seems the most grounded and willing to work with people and try to come to a compromise, while Veronica is very much like, just get it done or you guys aren't going to like it. And no one goes above Veronica. At least in the section of the office that we're in.
Yeah, even to the point where she jokes, like, I wish I could make everyone disappear. And she's like, oh, I know how. I can make that happen. And then in the, I think the last episode, it's the episode where they had to share offices, where everyone was like, Veronica, this isn't working out. She's like, I don't want to see you guys be upset. And they're like, well, we won't be upset if she's like, no. I don't want to see you guys be upset. And then they all, like, scatter.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Just like, don't make me get the gun. But, yeah. So, like, I don't know. I think even though it isn't actively, like being shown. Like, it says, like, everyone likes him except for people in their 50s.
Oh, yeah. 50s and middle management.
Mm-hmm.
And then every time someone new meets Ted, they all get a crush on him.
Yeah. Must be quite the world to live in.
It's what I call the handsome bubble. Yeah, so continuing with Phil and Lem. They made their unbreakable plate, but at first it was way too heavy. I think, what did they say? It was like 8 pounds without anything on it.
I think it was 8 pounds, five ounces. Oh,
5 ounces.
Yeah.
Because Ted was like, we can't have a plate that's 8 pounds. It feels like 5 ounces. Yeah. Like, he has to make sure that's exact. But he was like, when I said an unbreakable plate, I didn't mean it had to be bulletproof. Like, make it, like, more reasonable. So then, yes, they made the plate. It was a lot lighter. But when he tried to prove that it didn't break, it immediately caught fire. And they were like, let's retool this. Let's make you be able to cook and use the plate at the same time. We can call it the plove. So would you want a plove in your kitchen?
I think it would be fun, but not this kitchen.
I think it would be a party trick that I would have to hide very far away from everybody when I'm not the one using it.
Yes. I think it'd make a fun like centerpiece for something.
If like, you're flambeing.
Yeah. Or like if you just like, oh, we gotta roast the mallows.
Oh, s'mores inside.
Yeah. Just make sure it's not underneath your smoke detectors.
Yeah, and then I did feel very bad for, what was her name, Carol? Because Phil has the plate on fire. And he's like, yeah. I'm going to leave this here. She's and then like, Ted. Okay. And Ted's like using her vase of flowers and dumping the water to put the fire out. And Ted's like, hey, it's better than when that guy shot at you, eh?
And she's like, just end me now. Okay, hold on. I have a question because I don't see it on here.
Okay.
What do you think of Phil shooting the gun?
You should not shoot it like that, and yeah. I agree with Lem for the way he was acting was less than appropriate.
It's like you do realize when you say words like that, you sound more white.
Yeah, because Phil was very much doing what you like the stereotype of like I guess gangs would do in movies. You hold the gun a certain way, you use certain phrasing, and Lem was like, absolutely not. Yeah. Never do that again.
Then he does try one more time, and then Lem like puts the kibosh on that pretty much. Just like, no, stop that.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of them, I thought it was funny how not coordinated they were throughout the whole thing when they've been working with each other for 10 years. Because this whole episode, what is it? They were gonna go confront and talk to Ted, but they're like, oh, I thought we were gonna go aggressive, because like Phil's like, yeah. Hi Ted, and Lem's like, look here, oh, we're not going aggressive.
Yeah, too aggressive. Yeah, like I think that's probably them just stressing out because they're like, oh, we're on Ted's bad side, and we're like, yeah, and then there's with Jabberwocky going as crazy as it was, yeah, I could maybe that's like they're a little bit off kilter. A little bit.
That's true.
One other thing before we move past it, I googled things that weigh about 8 pounds, and I found a webpage that says 7 common items that weigh about 8 pounds.
If it's an 8 pound dumbbell, I'm gonna lose my mind.
I have not seen that yet.
Okay,
I only scrolled down to the first 3, so I figured I'll read these off, so that way we have a concept of how heavy this plate is. Mm-hmm. Number 1, a Labrador puppy.
Aww.
It says that they weigh from anywhere from 8 to 12 pounds, so a smaller puppy. Mm-hmm. Second one is milk gallons.
Oh, a gallon of milk is 8 pounds?
So a gallon, so for each gallon that you buy from the store weighs about 8.6 pounds. So this will be the closest to the weight of the, that is a pretty heavy plate.
Yeah, I don't want to carry that around and then put food on it.
Yeah. Number 3 is a newborn baby.
That checks out. Most babies are within the 7 to 9 pound range.
Number 4 is an Xbox One S.
I have one in my... Oh, I have one right next to me.
I have one that's in my closet that I'm trying to see if anyone would like and take off my hands.
Yeah, mine may or may not be bricked. I'm kind of too lazy to troubleshoot it. But... Oh, it's a heavy plate. I think I nicked my wall. But in either case.
Not hit it. Does it catch on fire?
Not going to check that. It's also covered in a lot of dust, so I'm pretty sure if I tapped it on anything, I might cough a lung out. But, yeah, I don't want to have a plate this heavy, even if it's unbreakable.
All right. Number 5, a female cat. They're very specific. Female cat.
Are male cats heavier?
I don't know. Number 6 is a classic 11-inch and 12-inch iron cast pan.
I have a couple cast iron pans. I know I need to retreat them, so I haven't really carried them around to see how heavy they feel to me.
Mm-hmm. And number 7, which is the last thing, is an 8-pound witness chicken. is a 24-inch computer monitor.
I feel like they're not that heavy anymore.
Yeah, this is from 2020. Hmm. Apparently, oh, there's 7 things that weigh. Wait, is this website just weight? I guess it makes sense. The website's called Weight of Stuff.
Oh, it's a whole website just dedicated to how heavy things are?
Yeah. Let's see, categories. Categories. It's broken. Anyway, but it's like 13 boats that weigh about 10,000 pounds, and then boats under 1,500 pounds. 7,000 pound boats. There's a lot of boats. Why are electric cars so heavy?
Because cars are heavy?
There's a lot of vehicle things. Anyway.
Are people like, there's no engine, so it can't be heavy? It's still a car with a whole frame and whatever.
A battery.
Yeah, it's a big battery. But, yeah, so along with their plate invention, the thing that they end up helping Linda with to hopefully get on Ted's good side is mixing Firefly DNA, speaking of Firefly, Firefly DNA with the, with plant life so that at night everything glows with bioluminescence, which is really pretty. But, yeah, you catch a glimpse of, like you said, a squirrel.
A fire squirrel.
The fire squirrel.
Yeah. It's a firebender.
So then...
When they lit everything up, my first thought was like, oh my goodness, it's Avatar.
Yeah, I could see that because it had the bluish hue to
it's
it.
It's like, don't hook your ponytail up to that tree.
Oh no, you'll know everything.
You'll know everything, and I don't think the rating was approved for that.
What was it? I know there's another Avatar movie coming out, and I asked someone, I was like, are they still going to connect their ponytails to the mounts that they ride on? And someone said, stop talking about that. I was like, you told me the plot was that it means something.
Wait, have you watched the first...
I half watched it, and I got bored, because I did not watch it in 3D.
It's Space Pocahontas.
Yeah, when I said that I've seen the plot before, everyone around me was like, no, you don't understand. It was innovative in 3D. You can't get the real experience if it's not in 3D. And I was like, then it's not well written?
Yeah. Did they explain what the ponytail connecting does?
From what I could tell, it was very intimate.
Yes. It was like the transference of information and also... Well, as I like to say on stream, bonding time.
And then, like, I went and
did bond with everything.
Yeah, I went and did the Avatar ride at Disney, and I asked Strider, I was like, so they connect their ponytail to the animal? He said, shh, don't ask me that. I was like, okay.
But the trees, with the animals. Don't look at
with
that.
With everything.
I'm James Cameron. I'm awesome. No, we're going to look at this.
we're going to pay attention to this. So, and then what is it? The new Avatar movie is in water, but it looks like it's the same movie, but just in water?
I guess.
Yeah.
I was about to make a Dune reference, and then I realized you haven't read the second book. So.
No, and I don't know if I will until they... Did they announce what year that the second movie's coming out?
I don't know. I still have to watch the first movie.
Yeah, I was gonna say it would. I also think it'd be a fun discussion for us to talk like book versus movie.
Mm-hmm. If we do that, I'll have to reread the book. It's been years.
Don't worry. The movie. Oh, I don't even have to read the second book now that I think about it. I'll just have to reread the first book because the first movie is maybe only a third of the book.
Yeah. Well, the second book is after.
No, I mean the first movie is maybe only a third of the first
book. Oh, yeah.
Because he doesn't even make it to the tribe.
Yeah, I expect how everyone was freaking about Zendaya. I was just like, oh.
Just the visions.
Yeah, it's like, don't worry. She'll be like a big deal. And, well, pretty much. Hold on. Do you plan on reading the second book?
I might. Okay. I was just kind of upset at how the first book kind of wrapped up. And I know a lot of people said that the other books are better.
Yeah, it's... Because, like, Paul Atreides, I think he's only in up to the third book.
I thought the third book was the only one written by the original author.
I don't know.
Because I thought that his son picked it up at some point in the so many books. But anyway, back to Better Off Ted. So we went Better Off Ted, Avatar, Dune. So we're back to Better Off Ted. Would you like to have glowing plants? I would like a backyard full of glowing plants.
I think it'd be cool. Like, once again, I think it'd be a really cool thing if I actually wanted people to come over.
Yeah, if I wanted an excuse to be outside, I'd be like, oh, I'll go outside for that.
Yeah. I think it'd be neat. Like, honestly, like, when they said that, I'm like, and they showing that off, and, like, it did, like, I know there's stage lights and everything, but it did light that roof up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like it was safe, and I was like, why didn't they propose this to greening out there? Because I'm like, this looks like something, like, that they could make money off of.
Yeah, you'd have parks or recreation areas specifically using this stuff, and you'd be like, charge admission. Very Viridian thing to do.
Yeah, like, I'm just thinking of, not Times Square, the Central Park. Just, like, lighting up the paths with the the fire plants.
And then you wouldn't need, lighting and stuff to have to be maintained with electricity or anything like that.
It'd probably be good to have a few just in case.
For emergencies or for brighter lighting. But it would at least keep the path lit well enough that people could walk it without needing all electricity.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, how many nights do you think you could survive if you yourself were glowing like the fire squirrel?
Oh, not long. Well, I don't know. I barely sleep now.
It would be really convenient if you got up in the middle of the night and you're like, I don't want to turn on the lights, I just want a snack.
Oh, man. If I woke up in the middle of the night, I'm more like, why am I awake? Like, it's hard enough for me to fall asleep. Why am I up? You know what I mean? It's like my body's like, I'll go to the bathroom. And I was like, really? And then it's just like, I wake up a little bit more. I was like, oh, really?
I kind of sleep with an eye mask now to cover my eyes. Speaking of sleep, I guess my body's like, oh, let's sleep. So I sleep with an eye mask now to help me stay asleep. So maybe I could just put that on and I can just glow in the middle of the night.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I would just feel bad for anyone else that happened to, like, like Strider.
Yeah.
If he didn't have his eye mask. He has one too, though, so we might be in the clear. But say I'm staying in a hotel with a friend. And I'm glowing at night. They'd be like, miserable.
That's how you make sure you never get put on work assignment again.
That is true.
Yeah, that's... Like, if I glow... Like, the thing is, I tried to sleep with an eye mask because my last place, like, the lights for the apartment complex were, like, pointed directly at my window.
Oh, and it was where my bedroom was.
No, it wasn't street lighting. It was just... Oh. Like, hey, if anything shady's going down and you guys are doing this in the courtyard, people can see you lighting.
Oh, okay.
But it just, like, it was directed right in there. And so, like, my second year, like, I was just like, oh my gosh. And so I ended up duct taping towels to the window. And I was like, and then I left one open because I'm like, that way it's like, the light isn't on me. But that way, when the sun is rising, there is a little bit of natural lighting coming in.
That makes sense.
But I tried sleeping with the sleep mask, and I couldn't get used to it.
I bought one that was rated well on Amazon, and it's, like, raised, so that, like, if you do open your eyes in the middle of the night, it's not, like, it's, like, pressing on your eyes.
Okay.
But they do look weird. Like, if you didn't know it was an eye mask, you'd be like... Is this, like, a tiny boob holder? Like, I don't understand what this is. Because it's, like, it's got the Velcro, and then it's, like, boop. And then it comes to each other.
Yeah, I saw one where it was just, like, it kind of, like, goes over your ears as well. And it's just, like, you can hook it up to your Bluetooth, like, to your phone or something and have it play music. And I'm, like, I don't know if I would want that.
Yeah, I saw one person, one commentary YouTuber that I like, he'll buy Instagram ad stuff because, one, he thinks it's funny, and two, his videos do well when he does that. So he bought one of those where it's like it looks like a headband and you pull it over and it has, like, the earbuds. He said that the worst part is, one, it's one size fits all, except that it perfectly fits his size. So he said he saw reviews where it's, like, too big or too small, and he's like, unless your head's the same exact size as mine, you're out of luck, because it wasn't adjustable. And that to clean it, because of the way the speakers are in, you have to remove the speakers and the battery pack, and then wash the headband, and then pull it out, and then put it all back together. Yeah. And he was like, it's not easy, it's not worth it, and it's uncomfortable.
Yeah. It's like, I remember seeing that, but I'm like, I got a fat head, so... It's like, that ain't gonna be fun.
Alright. Yeah, so this is my last question that I wrote down. Did you enjoy Veronica using phone call excuses in person?
Oh, yeah.
Rodney, I think his name is, because he's kind of a reoccurring character now.
Yeah.
He was in, I think he first showed up in the episode where they had the clicks, because he was a space guy, mm-hmm. and Linda tried talking to him. But yeah. He
going through a tunnel, you're right there. Oh, sorry, you're breaking up. I can't hear you. Ted, come with me.
I wish I had the confidence in myself to be able to do that in person to anyone I didn't feel like talking to.
I would do it to people I was close to, just to get a laugh.
That's fair.
Like, I don't know. If I remember, I'll do it to you at PAX.
Just, you know, 5 months from now.
Yeah, but then it's like, what? Like, I'll remember and you won't. And then you'll be like, what the heck?
Also, it just hit me. PAX Unplugged could be like in 4 or 5 months from now. Didn't that just happen? Where'd the year go?
It went to this podcast.
But yeah, so did you have anything else in your notes for the episode that I didn't go over?
I don't think I had a lot of notes, because it wasn't like...
This episode was fine.
Yeah, it was an okay episode. It wasn't like there was a lot of stuff where I'm just like, oh, like it was hidden. Yeah, like I just wrote the like lies upon lies upon lies. I'm just like, and then... The upper staff, like, I thought it was funny them just being confused about what Jabberwocky was.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it wasn't like there was a ton of, like, things where it's just like, oh, man, this is something that would be amazing to talk about. It was like, because, like, this one, like, all the stories, like, all the storylines were kind of, like, together. There wasn't, like...
Yeah, they were following all the same path.
Mm-hmm.
They had kind of slightly different motivations, because, like, Linda's was... earnest, like she honestly wanted to be able to help green the building. Veronica and Ted were just trying to get by, even though they're complete liars. And then Lem and Phil wanted approval, but it all kind of came to the same direction.
And then, like, what was it, like, Linda was about to say something. He's like, oh, well, Ted, you just stole money from the company just for me. And then that's when they're like, oh, well, if you're going to hug, you're going to initiate it this time. And then he's about to, and that's when Phil and Lem come in. It's like, Ted, we want to talk with you. we need approval. We need to know we're good.
Their timing is always great.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I guess, do you have anything else to squeeze in before I thank everybody?
Not about Better Off Ted.
Okay.
Like, do we want just something random to squeeze in?
No, just double check. I don't want to cut you off and be like, okay, that's the end of the episode, because I'm hungry.
I am. I just ate before we started, but now I'm getting hungry, too.
All right, then.
I do laundry.
Yes. Hopefully they're open and available for you.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to this far. We always appreciate it. We would double appreciate it if you leave us any kind of ratings, reviews, or comments on things like YouTube to let us know how much you enjoy the podcast. And if we happen to see any of those, we'll be sure to give you a shout out during our announcements part of our episode. If we ever miss that, then we would triple appreciate it if you interact with us at twitter.com/pointlessdisco and let us know that we missed anything. We don't want to leave you unaccounted for. I just know we do have 2 5-star reviews, but they are anonymous. Thank you to those 2 anonymous reviewers on Apple Podcasts. And yes, and then we're on YouTube, and like I said, I'm trying to get thumbnails working. If they're meme-y enough, let me know in the comments.
Yeah. And yeah, one last episode of Better Off Ted.
And then we'll be done season 1. Yeah. If you guys want us to go over season 2, then yeah, reach out to us. Deep Pain has links below and places you can find us.
Hey. Bye.